We're going to read a few verses from Matthew in Matthew chapter 22, and we will start in verse number 34. Matthew 22, and we'll start in verse number 34. Let's bow our heads and pray before we read the word. Lord, we come to you and we're grateful for your word. We know it brings life. Lord, and we ask you, God, that the power of your word would sink into our hearts, Lord, and change us and make us more like Jesus today. Help me to speak your word as you want me to, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start this passage should be very, very familiar. I refer to it very often. Brother Pat refers to it often. And it's because this is the place in the Bible where Jesus tells us what the greatest commandments are. These should be in our minds all the time, but here is the setting that they were given in. As you probably remember, there's a group called the Sadducees, there's a group called the Pharisees. They were always trying to trip Jesus up with questions, with situations. They were always looking for some way to make him look wrong or to prove him wrong. This happens to be one of those scenarios, and it also comes as they are trying to do this repeatedly. And so this is where we will pick it up. Verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he, that's Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now there are, of course, many ways to approach this. There are many lessons that could be learned from this. It would take quite a long time to actually go through and even begin to scratch the surface. Why? Because it's contained in those verses. Jesus says he's boiling down all of the law, all of the prophets, into just two verses. So we have something that's huge in these verses. And he's basically saying, he's at least taking huge sections of the Old Testament and boiling them down to two verses. It's huge. It's massive. And it's interesting because the Pharisees actually wanted to divide people with this question. So as I said, they had gone through and they ask him all these varying questions. And they ask him about, hey, what's going to happen in heaven about marriage? What if a woman has multiple husbands? Who's going to be her husband in heaven? And Jesus, refutes that. And then they ask him something else. And they ask him about taxes. Who should we pay taxes? Should we not pay taxes? And what they're trying to do is they're either trying to trip him up or they're trying to get people to go against him. And this is one of those questions. If you think about it, it's a question which is basically meant to divide people because Jesus is growing in popularity. And there's the Ten Commandments and people know the Ten Commandments. And the reason it would divide people is because everyone probably has their favorite commandment. Everyone probably, has one which they esteem higher than the other. If you're a mother and father, you probably love the one which says, honor your father and mother. If somebody has cheated you, you're probably really high on the one which says, you shall not bear false witness. You shall not be that lying, dishonest person. If you've had some tragedy in your family where somebody is killed, you might be very, very strong on the thou shalt not murder, and that might be your favorite. And so now Jesus is presented with this question, and if he picks one, everyone who's not in favor of that one as the highest one, they'll be like, oh, well, he's off. We don't agree with him. And so this question is actually meant to divide. They weren't looking for answers. They weren't looking for revelation. They were looking to divide the people and turn people against Jesus and take away some of his popularity. But Jesus is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. What an answer. Instead of dividing people, what he does is he summarizes most of the Bible. Instead of taking people and splitting them up, he unifies them. He actually says, this is the most important thing. And he actually does us a great favor. He actually does a great thing for us because he boils down what we should be doing. He gives us, and for all men, for all time, he tells us these are the priorities of heaven. These are the priorities that I'm setting out. Yes, there's all these rules. And we should follow them. And we should follow them. But these are the main thing. This is the two main things. And he does it absolutely brilliantly. And he says this. He basically says, first thing, you should love God. Second thing, you should love your neighbor. He said, do these two things and you're going to be pretty good. Do these two things because all the law and all the prophets hang on them. If you can do these two things, you'll be well on your way. There's another verse that's in, and we know it, we say this one as well. It's in Matthew 28. It starts with verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. This is right before Jesus ascends into heaven. It's after he's resurrected. And so it's one of the last things that he says. And think about it. If Jesus has one final thing to say, it's probably going to be very important. It's the last thing he's going to be able to quote before he goes away. And so this is one of the last things that he says. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We often call this, the church calls this the Great Commission. So we take the two Great Commandments and the Great Commission, we have the three top priorities of Jesus. He basically says, love God, love people, and then if I may paraphrase it in my own words, help others do the exact same thing. Make disciples. It's a word we don't often use. If you would come to our Bible study, we've actually been studying the difference between the term Christian and disciple. Because Christian means almost anything nowadays. Everybody in America, or a large part of America, calls themselves Christian. But that might not be what the Bible says we should be. A better term is actually disciple, because that actually has much more meaning. And basically, you could say that if the three commands are love God, love people, make disciples, it's really love God, love people, and help others to love God and love people. Help others do the exact same thing. These are the three top priorities according to Jesus. Love God, love people, help others do the same. Make disciples. And in the end, since these are what Jesus says, these are the greatest commandments, It seems like we will probably be judged on how well we do things. Come judgment day, it's not going to be... The requirements on judgments, they aren't going to be pulled out of the hat when none of us will know them. Jesus is telling us, this is how you're going to be judged. On how much did you love? How much did you love? How much did you love God? How much did you love people? I believe in the end, this is going to be a significant part of the criteria that we're judged on. In the end, how much were you able to love God? How much did you strive to make that happen in your life? How much was that a priority in your life? How much was loving people a priority in your life? How much was it helping others love God? How much was showing others the way to love God? How much was showing others the way to love people part of your life? These are the things that matter. And if any of you have ever been in a business setting, or maybe other types of settings where you know that we really can't handle many more than a few priorities. Often in business, they tell us that we could really, if we work on the three top problems, we'll fix most of the problems with whatever it is. If you could just do the three top ones, you'll fix 80, 90% of your problems. You'll make the project 80, 90% better. All you need to do is work on three, and Jesus gives us that exact number. Work on these three. And often, when we work on things that are well beyond that, we don't have the benefit. We don't have the payoff. We could work on priority 4, 5, 6, 7, but it might not give you the payoff. In fact, it won't. But often, this is exactly the way we run our lives. How much are our priorities in line with the priorities that Jesus lays out? How much are our priorities? We get 24 hours a day. We get 7 days a week. How much of that time? How much of our resources? How much of our money? How much of our things? How much do we spend on the things of God? Because in the end, Jesus is going to hold us accountable for these things. How much do we love God? How much do we love people? How much do we help others? Be lovers of God and lovers of people. We could get lost in all the do's and all the don'ts of the commandments, but Jesus boils it down and he says, this is what is important. We could be very sincere about all the other things. We could be as sincere as ever about doing the wrong thing. And in the end, Jesus says, no, this is what we should be doing. We should be loving God. We should be putting our attention. We should be putting our focus. We should be putting our actions on loving Him, loving each other. This is the cry of heaven. And we know we all have experiences in this. It's very easy to get lost in a lower priority. Even as Anne was talking about her dad, you could think, a man goes into the hospital and he has a desperate need. You want him to work on the main thing. You don't want the doctors to look at him and say, you know, he's got a hangnail. Maybe we should work on that. No, you want him to work on the main thing. He's choking. You need to do something about that. Don't work on all the other things. Sure, there might be a lot of other things that could be worked on. Maybe some of them might be somewhat important, but this one is the main thing. And Jesus is saying, this is the main thing. Don't work on all the other stuff. Work on what is important. Work on the thing that's going to matter. The number one priority, and Jesus says this is the greatest commandment. Love God. Love God. It's the main commandment. Now, knowledge is good. It's great to spend time reading the Bible and just poring over the promises of God and everything in it. But really, it's more than just knowledge. It's the emotion that goes along with it. It's more than just head knowledge. It's heart knowledge as well. There are many people that know a lot about the Bible, but they might not have a loving relationship with God. And Jesus doesn't say the greatest commandment is to be able to read 10 chapters of the Bible a day. Although that's probably a good idea. Not discouraging that, that's a good idea. Spend as much time reading the Bible, but your goal is not to just check off, yes, I've read another 5 chapters. Your goal is not to say, I put in my half hour, now I could go on with my day. Your goal is to love God more. Your goal is to get all that knowledge down into your heart and live it out in your life. That's our goal, to love God and to love people. To put it into practice, to put it into action, to actually have the emotion that goes along with it. Love is an emotion. Love is an action. And Jesus says that's what we should be doing. Love is what we should be focused on. And there's another terrifying verse which actually says that we could even give our bodies to be burned. It's not about just doing things. It's actually about loving. There's a verse which says we could go as far as give ourselves to be martyred. It says you could surrender your body to the flames. That means you could be burned at the stake for God. But if you don't do it out of love, it says you profit nothing. That's kind of terrifying in a sense. All the things that we do, many of us do them out of obligation. Many of us do it out of guilt. Many of us do it for all kinds of reasons. I have to make up for all the bad that I did. Jesus says, you can do all these things, but if there's not love, you're missing the point. And so love should be our goal. Love should be our focus. We could look at our life and how we go about it, because then the Bible goes through, and I'm not going to take the time to go through all of it. It's in 1 Corinthians 13. They go through and they define exactly what love is. And love is patient. Love is kind. It keeps no record of wrongdoing. And you could go through your relationships, whether they're with God or with others, and you could go through the criteria. Am I patient with everyone? Am I kind to everyone? Bible tells us that we shouldn't prefer ourselves, we should prefer others. Most people struggle with that one. They prefer themselves. They prefer all the things that they want. I like this, I like that. I don't like that they do this. I don't like when others do that. The Bible says love prefers others rather than yourself. Uh-oh. Sometimes, don't you want to just like ignore a verse in the Bible and say, I don't know about that one. That one, I don't know. That one probably just snuck in there. And the Bible says that love keeps no record of wrong. Wow. Keeps no record of wrong? If you have a close relationship, I'm pretty certain almost everybody's done that. I'm going to save that. I'm going to save it, and I'm going to whip it out at just the right time. They got something on me? It's the keeping record of wrong. But the Bible says that we're to love, and it says this is how we're supposed to do it. This is what we're supposed to do. And it says this is the main priority. This is the main thing. says it always trusts. Wow. That's pretty hard too. All these things, this is the definition of love. Just so that when we get to heaven and we stand before the throne, we can't say, well, I didn't realize. Well, Jesus said, these are the main priorities. And beyond the main priorities, this is what I mean by love. I mean these exact things. No excuses. No excuses. He boiled it down to even something as simple that I could understand it. Love God. Love people. Help others to do the same. He's made it so simple. No one can say they don't understand that. And no one will be able to. And so, if you get anything out of this today, make this your life's goal. Make this your life's goal. I need to love God more. I need to love people more. I need to make this my highest priority because that's what Jesus told me to do. I need to love God. I need to love people. I'm not even sure how I can go about doing this. So then make it a matter of prayer. Make it a matter of prayer. God, I want to love you more because I know it's your highest priority. God, I want to love people, even the people that are unlovable. I remember praying that one time. It's not here. But I remember praying that, God, make me love people more. And I remember He put us into a situation where people were just so unlovable. I thought it was going to be the exact way, or the exact other way. I thought it was going to be, oh, God was going to put us around people that could show us how to love more. But instead He put us around people that were so hard to love. Oh my gosh. And then when I was in the middle of it, I realized, oh, God's actually answering my prayers. It's not what I thought He was going to do, but this is what He did. Put us around people that would mistake anything you said. They were sensitive about so many things. You had to walk on eggshells and you had to consider their needs above our own. Was a challenge, and I wasn't ready for it. But then God said, "No, this is what I wanted. You asked for this. Is your answer to prayer?" I'm like, "Oh man." Jesus says it this way in John 17. He says, and I quote this very often as well. He says, "Eternal life is to know God." And to know Jesus Christ, who He sent. It's so important. It's so important to know God and to know Jesus. He said it's so important that He said that's eternal life. Eternal life is going to be knowing God, knowing Jesus. Knowing God, knowing Jesus, first commandment. That's all He's saying. Another way of stating it. Knowing God, knowing Jesus, loving God, loving others. And it's not just about doing stuff. Because we often make our relationship with God about doing things. Well, I'm part of this committee, and I'm part of that thing, and I have this job at the church, and you know, I help here, and I help in this department. And those are all good things. And those are all good things. They should flow out of your love for God. They should flow out of your love for people doing the things that we do. They shouldn't be the core of your relationship with God is not doing things. Or human beings, not human doings. And so Jesus tells us, because you know, a lover will outperform a worker any day. Someone who is in love will outperform someone who's just a worker any day. When I was sick, my wife, who loves me, thank God, she loves me, and she took care of me. Through things that I couldn't do myself, she took care of me. Better than any worker. better than anyone who could have been paid or who would have been paid, because she loved. And this is the way we are supposed to be too. We are supposed to love God so much that we just do things for Him. That we just want to do things. We want to please Him. We want to bless Him. We want to be concerned about the things that He's concerned about. And so a lover will always outperform a worker. And so Jesus says, love God first. Make that your goal. All the other things are going to fall out. All the other things will come if you put the first thing first. And it's worthy to mention that if loving God and loving people are the main priorities, that it's worth seeing that relationship is at the center of both of those things. Relationships with people, relationship with God. And that's another thing which many people aren't really too keen on. I got my couple of friends and that's all I need. I got my kids and that's all I need. I got this best friend from school and that's all I need. But the Bible says if we're going to love God and we're going to love people, that relationships are at this. Well, the Bible doesn't say it, but that is what is at the center of it. Relationships. Getting along with people. Expanding beyond who our little comfort zone, our little us four and no more. It's about relationships, so that means we should be very intentional about relationships. And some people it comes very naturally. I will say, it comes very naturally to some people. They're very good at relationships. And then there's others, and I'm one of those others. Relationships, I got to work on it. I got to be intentional. I'm very content just reading a book. I'm very content just figuring out a problem. I'm very content like that. I don't mind, if I had the opportunity, I don't mind just sitting in a cube working on some computer program all day. I don't. That's okay to me. That's good. I have fun. I have a good time with that. But that has nothing to do with people. I have to intentionally say to myself, you have to go. You have to get out of this comfort zone. You have to do something. You have to interact. You have to put yourself out there. You have to talk with people. Relationships. You have to care about what's going on in their lives. So we have to be intentional about it. Because Jesus says this is the number one, number two thing. You can't love people if you don't know anything about them. I could love you from a distance, brother. And maybe that's the best way. You can't do that. You have to be close. You have to pick up the phone. And with the way our lives are, many of us are living in the suburban areas. It's not designed. The suburbs themselves are not designed for relationship. You pull in your garage, you close the door, you don't see anybody. You might wave to a neighbor as you're passing them by, and that's the end. That's my relationship. Many of you probably don't even know your neighbors. It's common. But yet the Bible says that loving God, loving people is number two. And so you have to be intentional about doing that. I'm telling you, because God's going to have this criteria at the end of the age. This is how we're going to be judged, because it's the number one and number two commandments. Of God, of Jesus. The number one, the number two. We got to work at it. And we think about our society,
Especially males. The American male is probably one of the most isolated members of our society. American males, they have very few friends. They do very little reaching out. There's very little. It's not all. Of course, not all. But in general, the American male is very, very isolated. They don't call anybody. They don't text me. I have a set of guys that I've known for a long time. It is very common. I leave a message, and then about 3 weeks later, I get a return call. And I must confess, I've done the same thing, because that's the kind of relationship we have. No, that's not a great excuse. They know that if I don't answer, I might not get back to them for 2 or 3 weeks. And I know the same thing of them. I don't get frustrated at them, because I know that's the way they are. Because we're the American male who is so isolated. Now they're very busy doing a lot of things. A lot of things prevent them from calling back. A lot of things prevent me from calling back. The Bible says, number one, number two, relationships, loving people, not doing all the stuff I'm doing. Number one. Number two. And then if they're number one and number two, you can certainly expect that the enemy of our souls will try and distract us from them. The enemy of our soul will try and distract us from doing those things. He'll try and throw other things at us and make them seem more important. And in large part, there is a lot of success in distracting us from number one and number two. We have to make it our intentional goal. God, I want to love you more. I want to love you more. I want it to be me and you. I want the relationship with you. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know how to love a God that I can't see. I don't really hear him too often. There's some ways, but I can't really. I don't know. I have a hard enough time with relationships this way. I'm even worse at relationships with people I can't see. We have to make it a matter of prayer. We have to make it a matter of intentionality. I'm going to do things to make time and effort to love God. I have to do that because it's the priority of heaven. It's the priority that Jesus has set for us. Worship team, you could come on back up if you would. We're almost done. One of the other things that I want to say about this before we end, there's so much more that could be said about this, but one of the last things is, very often we get the order of number one and number two backwards. We cross them. Sometimes we believe that loving people and doing things for people is much more important than actually loving God. And maybe we don't say that, but our actions show it. We would much more be inclined to help do some function in the church rather than come to a prayer meeting. We would be much more inclined to do those kinds of things, like, I'm going to do this. I will help volunteer my time with the children. I'll help volunteer my time with the youth. I'll help. I'll volunteer and I'll do this. I'll work in the kitchen. I'll work on the grounds of the church. I'll do all those things. But then, that's all doing, but when it comes time to do an activity which will actually get you closer to God, most people are like, It's a reversal of the order of two and one. It's loving people, it's doing things for people rather than loving God. And so with the great commandments, Jesus is just brilliant, because he says this is the main thing. Don't get it confused with number two, because number two, even though it's important, is not number one. Number one is loving God. And number two is loving people. And all the things that we do, which are so nice for people,
All the things that we do, all the different ministries and different functions that you perform for God, and we're doing it so that people can have a nice experience, whether it's a fellowship or whether it's, you know, a bunch of flowers out there and all that stuff. That's all nice. Loving God is still number one. And doing things for people, loving people through all of our things, is number two. At the end of life, we will be held accountable for how much we love God and how much we love people. It is worthy of our examination of where we fall into this before we stand before the judge, before we stand before God and have our life examined for this. We can get our lives and our priorities in line with the priorities of heaven. And that's exactly what we want to do. There's so much more to learn about this, but the important thing is to examine yourself and say, where do I fit? And begin to focus your prayers on saying, God, if I'm falling short in this area, I need this. I need your help. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me. I need some help in loving you more. I want to make number one the number one thing. I want to make the main thing the main thing. And Jesus has told us this is the main thing. You have to decide in your hearts, in your life. Will you do this? Because Jesus said it's the most important thing. I don't want anybody to miss out on any part, any benefit that could come in heaven. And certainly if we make loving God the most important thing, we will be so much better off here on this earth as well. It's not just eternal rewards. This life will also be filled with the joy of the Lord if we can make loving God the number one thing in our lives. May God give us the grace and the mercy and the help that we need to do exactly that. His name be praised. Worship team, would you come and lead us in a